जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जशोदानंदन ब्रजजन रंजन, जशोदानंदन ब्रजजन रंजन, जमुना तीरा बनचारी, जमुना तीरा बनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जशोदानंदन ब्रजजन रंजन, जशोदानंदन ब्रजजन रंजन, जमुना तीरा बनचारी, जमुना तीरा बनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहार।
जयं विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय। ISKCON Founder Acharya His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय, श्री मथुरा धाम की जय, श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय, श्री मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की जय, गंगा माई की जय, जमुना माई की जय, भक्ति देवी की जय, तुलसी महारानी की जय, हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय, समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय, गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि गौर। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांगो, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्या नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवती नैष्टिकी। श्रीमद् भागवतम की जाए, ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जाए। श्रीमद् भागवतम नाइन्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 4, अम्बरीश महाराज ऑफेंडेड बाय दुर्वासा मुनि, टेक्स्ट 64। नाहम आत्मानम आशासे मद्भक्तै साधभिर साधुभिर वीना श्रियं चात्तन्तिकिं ब्रह्मन् येषां गतिर अहम् परा। नाहम् आत्मानम् आशसे मद्भक्तै साधुभिर विना श्रियं चात्तन्तिकिं ब्रह्मन् येषां गतिरहं परा। नाहम् आत्मानम् आशसे मद्भक्तै साधुभिर विना श्रियं चात्तन्तिकिं ब्रह्मन् येषां गतिरहं परा। नाहम् आत्मानम् आशसे मद्भक्तै साधुभिर विना श्रियं चात्तन्तिकिं ब्रह्मन् येषां गतिरहं परा। Mataji's Na, not. Aham, I. Atmanam, transcendental bliss. Ashase, desire. Madbhaktai, with my devotees. Sadhubhi, with the saintly persons. Vina, without them. Shriyam, all my six opulences. Cha, also. Atantikim, the supreme. Brahman, O Brahmana. Yesham, of whom. Gatihi, destination. Aham, I am. Para, the ultimate. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O best of the Brahmanas, without saintly persons for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulences. Please repeat after me. O best of the Brahmanas, without saintly persons, for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulences. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient, but to enjoy His transcendental bliss, He requires the cooperation of His devotees. In Vrindavan, for example, although Lord Krishna is full in Himself, He wants the cooperation of His devotees like the cowherd boys and the gopis to increase His transcendental bliss. Such pure devotees who can increase the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are certainly most dear to Him. Not only does the Supreme Personality of Godhead enjoy the company of His devotees, but because He is unlimited, He wants to increase His devotees unlimitedly. Thus, He descends to the material world to induce the non-devotees and the rebellious living entities to return home back to Godhead. He requests them to surrender unto Him because unlimited as He is, He wants to increase His devotees unlimitedly. The Krishna consciousness movement is an attempt to increase the number of pure devotees of the Supreme Lord more and more. It is certain that a devotee who helps in this endeavor to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes indirectly a controller of the Supreme Lord. Although the Supreme Lord is full in six opulences, He does not feel transcendental bliss without His devotees. An example that may be cited in this regard is that if a very rich man does not have sons in a family, he does not feel happiness. Indeed, sometimes a rich man adapts a son to complete his happiness. The science of transcendental bliss is known to the pure devotee. Therefore, the pure devotee is always engaged in increasing the transcendental happiness of the Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shibashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna, it's a wonderful experience to be back in Mayapur, to be in your midst, and I can see, besides the regular inhabitants of Mayapur, Dham, there are many new faces also. Welcome to all of you to the holy Dham of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare. So, just to give a little background, this chapter is describing Manu's offsprings. Manu's son was Nabhaga, and Nabhaga's son was Nabhaga. And Nabhaga was very much absorbed in spiritual activities, so he spent many, many years in his guru's ashram, Gurukul. Now, in his absence, his brothers divided the father's property among themselves. So when Nabhaga returned, there was nothing left for him. So he approached the brothers, "What's the matter? What is my share?" So they said, "Your share is the father." So he went to his father and told what happened. And so father gave him two mantras. He said, "You chant this mantra in solitude." So when he chanted these mantras, Angira Rishi, Brahma's son, and other great sainted personalities, the sages, also appeared there. And they offered him the what they have acquired from various sacrifices, a huge amount of wealth. Because in sacrifices, the custom is to offer in the sacrifice. The kings perform the sacrifices very opulently, and they remain in the custody of the sages. So they gave all their accumulated wealth to Nabhaga. At that time, Lord Shiva appeared and claimed that that's actually his property. And so he challenged him, but Lord Shiva became very pleased with Nabhaga's attitude, his behavior, his submissive attitude. So Lord Shiva said, "Okay, fine. I am satisfied with you, so take everything." So Nabhaga's son was Ambarish Maharaj. And Ambarish Maharaj was the ruler of the entire earth planet, including the oceans. Those days, there used to be one ruler of the entire earth planet. That is actually the standard. Every planet has one ruler. Like Sun planet has one ruler, Surya Dev, Vivashwan. Moon planet, Som Dev. This is how every planet has one ruler. Like Brihaspati, Sukracharya, Buddha and Mercury, so forth. So similarly, Earth planet also used to have one ruler. But in Kali Yuga, that system has been lost. And instead of that, instead of rulers ruling the planet and the subordinate rulers ruling the different areas of the planet under their authority, under the structure, under the authority structure of one ruler who is to be the supreme ruler of the planet, in place of that has come democracy. Anyway, so we are seeing what happens when that system goes and this system comes in. Anyway, let's not get into that. The point is, those days one person used to rule the entire earth planet. Like Yudhishthir Maharaj, when he became the king, he became the supreme ruler and all other kings became subservient to him. So that was the case with all the time in the past. And Ambarish Maharaj was one such ruler. Now these rulers were all Rajarshis. They are actually Rishis, they are saints. Assume the role of a king. Raja means a king, a Rishi means a sage or a saint. Saintly kings. Just as Krishna mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Imam Rajarshayo Bidu. How this transcendental knowledge of Bhagavad Gita was flowing through these saintly kings, Rajarshis, Imam Rajarshayo Bidu. So that was the custom. And Ambarish Maharaj was one such personality, extremely saintly. Saintly means one who recognizes the futility of the material nature and doesn't get attached to the material activity, material nature or sense gratifying activities. They recognize, they understand the senses are not for enjoyment. Senses are not meant for body's pleasure. The senses are meant for serving Krishna. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchate. Rishikena, Rishik means the senses. Rishikena means by the senses. Rishikesha, the Lord of the senses. Who is the Lord of the senses? Krishna. Therefore, another name of Krishna is Rishikesh. So, Sevanam, serving him, is called bhakti. Serving the Lord of the senses with the senses is called bhakti. And Ambarish Maharaj set a wonderful example for that. He mentioned how every single sense can be engaged in the service of the Lord. There are five knowledge acquiring senses: eyes, ears, nose, tongue and touch. And five working senses: hands, speech, belly, anus and genitals. So all five sets, all ten senses can be engaged in the service of the Lord. We know that, how tongue can be engaged. Krishna bara dayamoy, kori bare jiva joy, shaprasad anna dilo bhai. The senses can be engaged in glorifying. The tongue, which is very, very difficult to control, can be engaged in glorifying Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and relishing Krishna prasad. Not only the eyes can be engaged in seeing the Lord's beautiful form, ears can be engaged in hearing the wonderful activities and the pastimes of the Lord. Even the legs can be used in the service of the Lord. How? Walking to the places of pilgrimage. Hands can be engaged by offering various active service to the Lord. So this is how all the senses can be engaged in the service of the Lord. And Ambarish Maharaj set a wonderful example for that. And once Ambarish Maharaj in Vrindavan was observing Ekadasi, and the completion of the Ekadasi is in breaking the Ekadasi fast on the Dwadasi. So it was a long Ekadasi that he observed, a year-long Ekadasi. And on Dwadasi day, Durbhasha Muni appeared there. Durbhasha Muni is famous for his hot temper, anger, and he is expert in giving curses. At the same time, he also gives benediction. When he is pleased, he gives boon. Like he was pleased with the service of Kunti Devi, and he gave her a boon. She could call any demigod at any time. Durbhasha Muni gave the blessed benediction to Srimati Radharani. Whatever you'll cook will taste like nectar. So, this is how, the same Durbhasha Muni, although he was famous for his anger and cursing others due to that, but at the same time, he also was expert in giving benediction. But here, he actually made a mistake. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava ki jai, Shakhi Brinda ki jai, Shriman Mahaprabhu ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. So Durbhasha Muni came there, and Ambarish Maharaj greeted him. I'm so fortunate that a personality, such an exalted personality like you, have come here. And he said, please accept my invitation and hospitality. So Durbhasha Muni went to Jamuna to take bath. And after taking bath, when he was meditating on the Lord, he got into a trance and he got completely absorbed in that, and he lost track of time. He was in another dimension. And in the meantime, the time for Parana, breaking Ekadasi fast on the Dwadasi day, was passing away. About to pass away. So the Brahmanas advised Ambarish Maharaj that please, you have to break your fast, otherwise the Ekadasi will not be complete. So Ambarish Maharaj said, look, I have a guest, how can I take anything without offering him? So then they said, okay, just take a drop of water. Actually, when one observes Nirjala fast, Nirjala Ekadasi fast without drinking water, then just by taking a drop of water, one can break the fast. So Ambarish Maharaj did that. And Durbhasha Muni, through his mystic power, found out. Oh, he invited me, and see, now he himself is eating without me. First, without me first eating. So he immediately appeared there, angry as anything. And he started to chastise Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj, of course, a devotee, with folded hands, he accepted all his chastisement. Durbhasha was not even satisfied with that. He immediately caused a terrible personality to appear. That personality had a gigantic body made of fire. He appeared there to destroy Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj, like a devotee, never really defends himself. Accepts everything as Krishna's mercy. Marobi rakhubi joicha tohara. Whether you want to keep me, whether you want to kill me, it's up to you. That is the attitude of a devotee. He doesn't want to defend himself. He accepts everything as Krishna's mercy. If it's an occasion when I'm going to lose my life, I'm prepared to accept it as your mercy. You want me to die, so I'll die. But although Ambarish Maharaj did not defend himself, Lord Sudarshan Chakra, that is patrolling everywhere. Lord Sudarshan Chakra, although we do not see him, and the Vishnu Dutas also, they're patrolling everywhere. Whenever they see that a devotee is in distress, they appear there. Like we saw in case of Ajamil, just happened to chant the name of Krishna at the time of death, Narayana. And immediately Vishnu Dutas came. Oh, here is a person, Jamadutas have come to take him. Okay, I will take care of them. Similarly, Sudarshan Chakra immediately appeared there and destroyed this gigantic demon who was trying to attack Ambarish Maharaj. Destroyed him. And Sudarshan Chakra now is going to take care of Durvasa Muni. Very, very exalted personality. Durvasa Muni is a personification of Lord Shiva's energy. But that personality is now in distress. So he saw that Sudarshan Chakra is coming. So he ran. With his mystic power, he could run so fast that he could run faster than Sudarshan Chakra. So he is running, Sudarshan Chakra is chasing him. So he went to various places. Finally he came to Brahma and said, "Please, please save me." Brahma said, "I can't." He went to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva also said, "Sorry, I can't." Then he went to Vaikuntha. And he appealed to Narayana. "My Lord, you are the protector of everyone. Please save me from this critical situation." So now, this is what Narayana is saying. The previous verse also, I'll just go back to two other verses. Durvasa Muni is saying, "O my Lord, O Supreme Controller, without knowledge of your unlimited prowess, I have offended your most dear devotee. Very kindly save me from the reaction of this offense. You can do everything, for even if a person is fit for going to hell, you can deliver him simply by awakening within his heart the holy name of your lordship." Then Narayana is responding. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said to the Brahmana, I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent, because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires. I sit only within the cores of their hearts. What to speak of my devotees? Even those who are devotees of my devotees are very dear to me." And then it comes to today's verse, O best of the Brahmanas, without saintly persons for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulences. So this actually shows how dear the devotees are to Krishna. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, but Krishna cannot enjoy by himself. Although he is self-sufficient, but still he cannot enjoy himself. In order to enjoy, he needs the enjoyed. The enjoyment is incomplete unless and until there are enjoyer and enjoyed. Therefore, Krishna needs his devotees to enjoy. And more the merrier. More the enjoyer, more the participants in the enjoyment, the greater is the joy of that enjoyment. In that respect, Prabhupada once gave an example that a very rich man, he lives in his palace and he has so much opulence. But when he wants to enjoy, what does he do? He throws a party, some festival, some festivity, where he invites his friends and relatives. And that's the way he enjoys. So similarly, Krishna enjoys with his devotees. And the basis of the enjoyment is loving exchange. Vishaya and Ashraya. Object of the enjoyment and the enjoyer himself. So Krishna's devotees are the ones with whom Krishna has his loving exchange. And through the loving exchange, he enjoys. Vrindavan is the place where he is enjoying. There are three principal, or you can say four principal loving exchange. Servitorship, the servants are serving the master because of his love for the master. Friends, due to their loving exchange as friends, there is enjoyment. Then parental, Krishna's parents. Devotees are, Krishna. Some devotees are in parental relationship. And finally, conjugal, the gopis of Vrindavan. And ultimately, it's culminating in Srimati Radharani, who is the supreme object of his enjoyment. Ladini Shakti. So, through different mellows, the loving exchange that takes place is the basis of enjoyment. Iti driksha lila bhir ananda kunde shaghoshang nimajjantam akkhappayam. We sing Damodar Ashtakam. Today it's starting. The third stanza of Damodar Ashtakam is saying, Iti Drik. In this way, Swa Lila Bhir, through his own pastimes, Ananda Kunde Shaghoshang Nimajjantam. Shaghoshang means his devotees. He drowns his devotees. Krishna, by performing his pastimes, drowns his devotees in a pool of ecstasy. It's not a matter of just having some drops or spoonful or some experience of ecstasy. Through performing his pastimes, Krishna actually drowns his devotees. Nimajjantam. Nimajjantam means drowning. He drowns his devotees in an ocean of ecstasy. That is what Krishna is doing in Vrindavan. He is performing various pastimes, and all those pastimes are source of joy. Krishna performs his pastimes and devotees become so joyful. And seeing his devotees enjoying their joy, Krishna also becomes joyful. In order to give them the enjoyment, Krishna performs his pastimes, and making his devotees joyful, Krishna enjoys himself. That is the loving exchange. That is Vrindavan, the place of love. And in Navadvip, the same Krishna as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is distributing that Krishna prema. In Vrindavan, Krishna is experiencing Krishna prema. And in Navadvip, here Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is distributing that Krishna prema. Namo Mahavadannaya Krishna prema pradayati. Pradayati, he is distributing that Krishna prema. In this respect, there is a very beautiful anecdote. It is a colloquial anecdote from Vrindavan. That one day Radharani went to Nandagram, Krishna, in the house of Nanda Maharaj. She was very happy to see everything. So at the end, when she was about to leave, Nanda Maharaj asked her, "So, Lali, how did you like this? Like your stay in Braj?" She said, "Everything was fine, but there is one thing that kind of made me feel a little unhappy." "Oh, in Braj you felt unhappy? What happened? What is that?" She said, "You see, Krishna was distributing his prasad to everybody, and only those who had pots got the prasad." In Hindi or in Braj and Sanskrit also, the pot is called patra. Patra. So those who had pots, they could have Krishna's mercy. And those who did not, they had to leave and somehow get some pot in order to get the mercy. He said, why this consideration? Why he is not giving his mercy to everyone? So Nanda Maharaj called Krishna, said, "Look, Radhika is dissatisfied. Why, what happened? That you are giving your mercy to those who had the patra." Actually, the real meaning is patrata. Patrata means qualification. So Krishna is giving mercy to those who are qualified. Those who are not qualified, Krishna is not giving his mercy. Therefore Krishna said, "Okay, fine. In my next pastimes, in Navadvip, I will give my mercy to anyone and everyone without any consideration of qualification." So that is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna is distributing his mercy without any consideration of one's qualification. So that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahavadanya, namo Mahavadanaya. Yogyota bichare kichu nahi pai, tomaro koruna shar. As far as my qualification is concerned, I don't have anything. I don't have any qualification whatsoever. All I am relying on, all I am depending on, is your mercy. So that is the mood of a devotee. And in this incarnation, in this appearance, Krishna is extremely merciful, extremely magnanimous. So this is how Prabhupada pointed out in the purport that how Krishna, in order to enjoy, he depends upon his devotees. And in exchange, Krishna becomes subservient to his devotees. Krishna, who is the supreme personality of Godhead, becomes his devotee's servant. Like he is driving Arjuna's chariot. That is the business of a servant. Chariot driver, like a chauffeur, driver. Boss is there and driver. So Krishna became Arjuna's driver, his servant. Krishna became Pandava's messenger, serving his devotees. In this way, when one becomes engaged in serving Krishna with love and devotion, then Krishna becomes conquered by him. Although Krishna is ajita, ajita, inconquerable. Nobody can conquer Krishna, no matter how powerful that person may be. Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravan, Kumbhakarna. Extremely powerful persons, practically immortal, but they had to become defeated by Krishna and killed by Krishna. But that Krishna who is ajita, he becomes jita, he becomes conquered. Who? By whom? Sthane sthitva shruti gatan tanubang manobhi. Being situated wherever one is situated, when one becomes engaged in serving Krishna with his body, speech, tanu means body, bang means speech, manobhi, mind, with his body, speech and mind, when one serves Krishna according to the instructions of the scriptures. Shruti gatam, according to the Shruti Shastra, according to the Vedic injunctions. When one becomes engaged in serving Krishna, then Krishna who is ajita, jitopi taistrilakam, Krishna becomes conquered by him. That is Krishna's very wonderful nature. He is the Supreme Lord, he is the Supreme Powerful, he is the Supreme Controller. But he becomes subservient to his devotee. With devotion, devotee conquers him. In this respect, the other day in Kanpur, when Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj was giving a class, he mentioned one thing, that when Durvasa Muni went to Narayan in Vaikuntha, Narayan told him that, look, mercy comes from the heart. But I don't have my heart. My heart is given off to my devotees have taken my heart away. Therefore, if you want Sudarshan Chakra to desist, that can be only by the mercy of a devotee. I can't. You have offended a devotee. I can't do anything about that. You have to go back to the devotee. Beg his forgiveness. And now we see afterwards, like the wonderful nature of a devotee. No matter how severe the offense was, he wanted to kill Ambarish Maharaj. But what is Ambarish Maharaj's response when he came and begged forgiveness? Ambarish Maharaj said, no offense at all. No, no. That is the mood of a devotee. No, there is no consideration of, no question of offense. He didn't commit any offense. So, although one commits such severe offense, but he, the devotee does not take that offense. Therefore, we should remember that this is another nature of the devotee. Not that, you know, somebody offends, commits some offense to us, and he comes begging forgiveness and says, "No, I'm not going to forgive you." No, that's not a devotee. Devotee's attitude is, no, there is no offense. No offense. And he embraces that personality. He falls at his feet, but he picks him up in his loving embrace. That is the heart of a devotee. And since the heart of a devotee is so soft, that's where Krishna resides in the heart of that devotee. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. It says to finish the class at 9 a.m. So anyway, just I'll take one or two questions.
I know anger is very dangerous for anger. Angry.
Anger, yeah.
Is very dangerous for practicing our devotional service. So I have two questions. What is the root cause for this anger and how can we control this anger?
How can we control? How was the root of anger? The root of anger is mode of passion. Kaam, lobh, krodh, etc. Tada rajastamo bhava kamo lobha dayashchaje. Rajagun and tamogun is the cause of anger. Kamat krodho bhijayate. Dhayate vishayan pungsha sangaste shupajayate. Sangat sangjayate kamo. Due to association with the objects of the senses, we develop the desire to enjoy them. Lust, kam. And kamat krodho vijayate, from lust develops anger. Because the kam, the desire to enjoy, is never satisfied. And that dissatisfaction causes anger. Okay, and how to control? Get out of the mode of passion and ignorance. Passion and ignorance are cycling. Passion to ignorance, ignorance to passion. Due to the mode of passion, throughout the day we work so hard, and at night we fall asleep in ignorance. Then in the morning we wake up and start acting in the mode of passion. And again at night we fall asleep. So this is how cycling between passion and ignorance. But we have to come out of that cycle, and that is in the mode of goodness. Cheto etoir anabiddham, when they are unaffected, when the consciousness is unaffected by passion and ignorance, then one becomes situated in the mode of goodness. And the way to become situated, evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhaktir yogatah. Bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. So, devotional service is the answer to all these problems. Then comes another consideration. Then all these, lust, greed, anger, etc., can be used in Krishna's service. Kam Krishna karmarpana. Lust can be engaged in rendering devotional service to Krishna. Krodh bhaktud veshi jane, anger towards those who are offensive to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees. Like Hanuman. Just single-handedly he destroyed Ravan's, not only Ravan's favorite garden, not only he burnt the whole Lanka, like he also killed Ravan's son. And one whole Akshavini soldier of Ravana was destroyed by Hanuman alone. So that's a devotee. And pride, yes. Devotee also has his pride. I am a devotee. Angad, Bali's son, he went to Ravan as a messenger from Lord Ramchandra. Why are you fighting? Return his wife and don't get into a fight. That was the message he was carrying. So Ravan just treated him like an ordinary monkey. He was sitting high up in a throne and he was down there. And Angad thought, this guy is a demon, an offender to Lord Ravan, Lord Ram, and he is going to be in such an elevated position. So with twisting his tail, he created an asan which was higher than Ravana's. And from there he was communicating with Ravan. Pride. Yes. Pride. I'm a devotee of the Lord. And who are you? Offender, a demon, an insignificant, misguided spirit soul. So that is the pride of a devotee. So this is how devotion, in devotion, all these can be also engaged. Okay, so last question. Yes. Give the mic to her.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the wonderful class. Just two questions. First question is, Devasa Muni obviously is such an exalted soul. He could go right to Vaikuntha and appeal to Lord Vishnu for assistance. Can you explain a little bit why he becomes overcome by anger?
Okay. The first consideration is that he could go to Vaikuntha but couldn't stay there. Right? And you see, these saintly personalities they act as an instrument in the hands of the Lord, Lord's arrangement. Like there was a need for that. There was a need for, say for example, Ravan to become Ravan. Because Krishna's pastime is like a drama. And the drama must have conflict. Right? Without conflict there cannot be any drama. Like there cannot be excitement without conflict. So, you know, there is a need for, while the Lord is the hero, there is a villain. But in the ultimate issue, they all are actually Lord's associates. So like a king, when a king organizes a drama, the actors and actresses are king's people, not just any Tom, Dick and Harry. And they play the role according to the script. So that's, and Jogomaya actually organizes the script. And the good drama has two aspects. One is entertainment and other is education. So Krishna's pastimes, actually the drama is a reflection of Krishna's pastimes. So just for our convenience, we are just drawing the line, simile. Like Krishna's pastimes, you know, creates excitement and enjoyment in the hearts of his devotees. And it carries a very, very important message. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. That is the ultimate teaching of all his drama.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. The other question is, can you explain a little bit about the Ekadashi Purana? Because sometimes the breaking of Ekadashi fast, why we have the particular times, for example, must be between 5 a.m., 6 a.m., can you explain a little bit about that? Is it just astrological or...?
Yeah, it is an astrological calculation. Because before certain time, you know, before certain time, it has to be broken. The vow takes place by taking the vow. I will observe. On the day of Dashami, the day before Ekadashi, one actually takes the vow that I will observe Ekadashi tomorrow in this way. And then at the end of observing the vow, he actually breaks it to complete the Ekadasi. And that is the param.
So if you didn't break fast on that, between that particular time, then it would be that you actually didn't follow a Kodashi properly and you would have to do it on the Triodashi?
Yeah. The proper observation is, observance is that it is broken. Ekadasi vow is, I would say, Ekadasi vow is completed within certain time. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.